Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
The Michelin Countdown to Green on IMSA Radio.
Hello everybody and welcome along to IMSA Radio Super Sunday coverage from Watkins Glen. It's the 2021 Sealand 6 Hours at the Glen. The shortest of our long races, if that makes any sense. Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona, the Mobil 1 12 Hours of Sebring, and later on in the year we will have Petit Le Mans, the Motul Petit Le Mans from Road Atlanta. And this 6 hour race fits in nicely there to make up round three of the Michelin Endurance Cup for 2021. But it is a substantive round of the championship as well. Coming up in Michelin Countdown to Green, we'll have our Porsche keys to the race. We'll hear from all of the pole sitters. We'll take you through what's happened so far so that you're up to speed before we go green flag in under 40 minutes time now at the Glen. And also Jeremy Shaw will give us the full rundown of the grid, which has changed just a little bit. Mention of Jeremy Shaw, he's with me in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. And relatively speaking for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship runners, Jeremy, an uneventful weekend building up to this on the track, although there have been a few mechanical issues which will cause problems when you give us the grid read later on. But so far, so good, and a pretty good looking field, to be honest.
Yeah, good morning, John. Good morning, everybody. It's a great looking field. I think 38 cars, and it's been super exciting so far this weekend. The weather has been playing game with us. We thought there might have been on Friday some problems yesterday with the weather. Well, there wasn't, at least not while the track action was underway. So I think we're in for a super exciting race. We've seen some tremendous competition already this season. Expect a lot more of that in the Sealand 6 Hours of the Glen today.
Yeah, we'll have the full commentary for you just after 9 o'clock on the Eastern Seaboard, Eastern Time. That's local time here at the Glen. Shea Adam is our VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock reporter. Everybody bar two went out this morning in the 20-minute warm-up. Two that let us know beforehand, so it was no shock there, and one of which is pretty standard operational procedure for, in fairness.
Yeah, Core Autosport do not typically participate in morning warm-up. It's a bit too early for them. They like a lie-in and an extra coffee at the hotel. So it was no running for the 54, which qualified third in the LMP3 category, but more on that later. The other car that turned no laps was the number 42 NTE Sport Audi. And again, that was forewarned. So we saw no surprises there. The biggest surprise was that the BMWs both set times in GTLM.
And normally did quite a lot of laps.
They did quite a few laps, but the big thing from that was that at the end of the session, it was the 24 of Jesse Krohn that set the fastest time in morning warm-up. So not only did they do several laps, they went, relatively quicker than anyone else this morning. So that bodes well for BMW fans.
I wonder if that's just because they're not a full season entrant this year, Shea, and therefore we haven't seen them in some of the other races that their competition have had. They, of course, haven't run competitively since the Mobil 1 12 Hours of Sebring. So it's a slightly different look to their season this year.
It is, and it very well could have been. But also the car that was out there turning the most laps and going the quickest in class was the car that qualified fourth in category. So perhaps it was a bit of a warning to the competition from the 24 BMW of John Edwards, Jesse Krohn, and Augusto Farfus, rookie to the Saylan 6 Hours of the Glen, that car is indeed quick and will be competitive later on today.
Yeah, that's a fair point as well. We don't always get a warm-up. They may have just tried a little tweak in the settings to try something out. If they did that, it certainly worked. One or two problems overnight that have necessitated some minor work on a couple of the cars and some major work on the other share. Detail that, because that will be reflected when Jeremy does the grid in a second.
We've had two engine changes, the 55 Mazda and the number one Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini. Second race in a row that Paul Miller Racing has had to do an engine change, but that results in both of those cars moving to the back of their classes. Except Paul Miller Racing, not quite at the back of their class, because there was a driver change for the 75 Sun Energy One Mercedes. Kenny Habul will be taking the green flag in that car. So that car will start dead last on the grid. And the other change was the 52 for PR1 Matheson, Ben Keating electing to take new tires and forfeiting his second place qualifying position. And I've just gotten a text from Johnny Knotts, the pit lane of extraordinaire official, who said that the 84, that is the DR3 machine for the LMP3 category, will be a pit lane start. They were late to get out for the grid.
Okay.
So that's what's going on. And also, if you're out and around the track and you've noticed that the 44 Magnus with Archangel Acura is out of its grid spot, that is okay. IMSA has said that that's okay. They're allowed to retake their spot if they can get to it before the 10-minute to go mark has elapsed.
Okay, let's check up with the grid. We'll have the pole sitters in a moment. But first, here's Jeremy with how they'll line up for the Saylan 6 Hours.
We have 38 cars lining up today for the race. In terms of the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, this is round 4 for DPI and GTD. It's round 3 for GTLM and LMP3, and round 2 for LMP2. For all 5 classes, however, this is round 3 out of 4 of the Michelin Endurance Cup. We've got 7 DPI cars, we've got 5 LMP2s, 7 LMP3s, 5 GTLMs and 14 GTDs. So let's start at the back of the grid for the race. Car number 75 will start last. Kenny Habul will start number 75, Sun Energy 1 Mercedes AMG GT3. That car has had a change of starting driver from what was originally anticipated. Ahead of them on the grid is Corey Lewis in the number 1 Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini Huracan, as Shay just outlined, that hasn't had an engine change after qualifying. Row 18 of the grid, John Potter, number 44 Magnus with Archangel Acura NSX GT3. Alongside Rob Ferriol, number 88, Team Hardpoint EBM Porsche 911 GT3R. Row 17 is Ian James. Number 23, Heart of Racing Team Aston Martin Vantage GT3, that won the most recent race in Detroit, which was not a round of the overall championship, by the way. Long story. Alongside him on the grid, car number 19 is Misha Goitberg in a GRT Grasser Racing Team Lamborghini Huracan GT3. On row 16, Zachary Robichon, car number 9, Pfaff Motorsports Porsche 911 GT3R. Alongside him, making its regular season debut, is Tyler McQuarrie, will start the car number 39, the car barn with Peregrine Racing Audi R8 LMS GT3. Row 15, Frankie Montecalvo, that's car number 12 for Vassar Sullivan, the Lexus RCF GT3. Alongside him, Robbie Foley, car number 96, the Turner Motorsport BMW M6 GT3. Row 14, Daniel Morad, car number 28, the Allegra Motorsports Mercedes AMG GT3. Alongside a car that's returning to the series for the first time since Daytona, Jaden Conright, making his debut in the championship, will start car number 42. That's the NTE Sport Audi R8 LMS GT3, qualified an excellent third in GTD. Onto the front row of the grid, therefore, in GT Daytona. Car number 16, Trent Hindman for Wright Motorsports, the Porsche 911 GT3R. And on the pole position, for the first time, he's actually qualified a car in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. In car number 14 for Vassar Sullivan, the second of its Lexus RCF GT3s, is Kyle Kirkwood. That car, by the way, also claimed maximum points towards the championship for qualifying in a separate session in which Jack Hawksworth was the fastest driver. In the other classes, whoever was is on pole position also gains those points toward the championship. Moving on to GTLM then. In the fifth position, car number 79, the WeatherTech Racing Porsche 911 RSR 19. That'll be Cooper McNeil. Alongside him, John Edwards in the first of two BMW Team RLL BMW MH GTEs. That's car number 24. His teammate in car number 25 will start third on the grid in GTLM. That's Connor DeFilippi. And then onto the front row of the grid, effectively, although they're actually on separate rows, 21st on the grid will be Tommy Milner in the Corvette Racing Chevrolet Corvette C8R, that car making its debut here at Watkins Glen International. And on the pole position, the teammate, car number 3, for the 8th time in his career, second in succession in championship rounds for GTLM, in car number 3 is Antonio Garcia. Moving on to the LMP3 category. In the 7th position, car number 91 for Riley Motorsports. And all of the cars, by the way, in LMP3 are Ligier JSP320s. Car number 91 will be started by Jim Cox. Ahead of the grid, on the grid, is his teammate in car number 74. That's Gar Robinson, the championship leader. And then in the 17th position on the grid, making its debut in the championship this weekend, Dawson Racing with a brand new Ligier, car number 84, young Norwegian Theodore Olsen. Into the 8th row of the grid overall, Dan Goldberg will start car number 38. That's for Performance Tech Motorsports. Alongside him, qualifying 3rd in LMP3, a fine qualifying run for Core Autosport in car number 54 was George Kurtz. Into the 7th row, car number 36, Jarrett Andretti for Andretti Autosport. Alongside him, on the pole position, his first pole in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship for the 2019 IMSA Prototype Challenge champion, making its debut in the championship this weekend, United Autosports USA LMP3 category, is car number 2, Austin McCusker from Long Island, New York. 5 LMP2 cars ahead of him. Car number 52, the PR1 Matheson Motorsports Orica, will be started by Ben Keating, that had a change of tyres after qualifying. Ben had actually had set the second fastest time, but had a spin, so they changed those tyres for the race. Ahead of him on the grid, Jim Maguire in the number 22 Orica for United Autosports. Row 5 of the grid on the outside, John Ferrano, car number 8 for Tower Motorsports. Again, all Orica LMP2s in the LMP2 category. Alongside him for Era Motorsport in car number 18 is Dwight Merriman. On the pole position, 8th on the grid overall. Excellent qualifying run after a problem during the morning practice session. The Wynn Autosport Orica LMP2, car number 11 is Stephen Thomas. Now, the 7 DPI cars. Starting at the back, having changed the engine after qualifying, car number 55, the Mazda Motorsports Mazda RT24P, starting driver will be Oliver Jarvis. Row 3 on the outside, Tristan Vautier, car number 5, the Mustang sampling JDC Miller Motorsports Cadillac DPI. Alongside in a similar car for Whelan Engineering, car number 31 is Pipo Durrani. On the outside of the second row of the grid, an excellent effort for his first time at Watkins Glen, in car number 48, the Ally Cadillac Racing Cadillac DPI from Japan is Kamui Kobayashi. And then in the third position, Renger van der Zander, car number 01, the fastest of the four Cadillacs for Cadillac Chip Ganassi Racing. Onto the front row of the grid, well, it's all Acura DPI. In the second position, in car number 60 for Meyershank Racing with Kerbag Ajanian is Dane Cameron. But on the pole position and scoring his record equaling 12th pole position in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, in the number 10 Konica Minolta Acura ARX 05 that leads the championship overall, our pole sitter is Ricky Taylor.
Well done, Jeremy. Jeremy Shaw and the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre in our Michelin Countdown to Green. Still to come, we have our Porsche keys to the Ceylon's 6 hours of the Glen. We'll join up with TV and go live in sound and vision in round about 25 minutes time. But if you're moving around and you're in the US and you've got the right equipment, XM 202 for the race coverage, or RS2 via imsaradio.com. You heard Jeremy there give us the pole sitters. Let's hear from them now. And we'll start in GT Le Mans. a debut pole position for the C8R from Corvette Racing. Antonio Garcia put it on pole position. Let's find out how he felt after scoring the number one spot.
Oh yeah, I mean, it felt really, really good. Back on pole, because the last time we were here on pole too. So yeah, pretty good. Always fun to qualify here, because that's when you really get to experience Watkins Glen. So to go really, really for it and be really close to the wall. So yeah, it was fun. I got one lap deleted, which really didn't help. But I was able to improve again. Not that lap time, but at least I was able to do it almost again. But yeah, it was great car. C8R again on pole. I don't know. So yeah, always good to be on pole. Always good to get a pole for the wheel racing. We saw this morning how cold it was compared to now. So actually, the car felt completely different than practice now. So for sure, the warm-up did yesterday was really good, and that would be way closer to what we will experience tomorrow. So yesterday we were competitive. So I believe we have to be the same way. But I mean, still 6 hours is going to come down to the last 2 or 1.5. But I think we are in the best spot.
Antonio Garcia, just to prove how dedicated Corvette Racing are, he was doing that pole interview from the wind tunnel, it sounded like. Strange days, the way we have to get this, and thanks to all at Corvette for that. No blocks, no breaks all the way through and beyond the checkered flag. We'll have Michelin post-race tech, of course, after the whole of the race live, which is coming up. We'll go sound and vision in around about 24, 25 minutes time from now. But before we go to our Porsche keys to the race, let's hear from the other pole sitters.
Kyle Kirkwood, 14, Vassar Sullivan Lexus, first pole position, and it comes at the Glen. What an honor to get it there. And what kind of a race car do you have for the race?
Oh, our car is has been on rails this weekend. I mean, Watkins Glen really suits us with the fact that it's a very high-speed track and it's high grip. So we're feeling pretty strong for the race. I mean, we haven't done yet a full stint on tires, so we're not quite sure how our race pace is going to be at the end. So there's still a question mark there with that. But I think we should be pretty good. Our pace is obviously really good for the one lap, and we're feeling strong for this weekend.
You've been running strongly all year in the open wheel series, but what's it like to come back to the sports car? And I know that you guys tested with the Lexus at Watkins Glen, but still, it's got to be difficult bouncing back and forth.
It was really difficult initially. So like when I went from lights into sports cars and then back to lights, it's a bit of an awkward transition. But now that I know the transition, it's gotten a bit easier. The toughest thing is just trusting the ABS in the GTD car, because that's such a useful tool, especially in our Lexus GT3 or RCF GT3. You have to be in the ABS all the way into the brake zone. There's kind of almost like a mental block coming from open wheel that tells you, oh, you shouldn't be hanging onto the brake for that long because you're going to lock up. And that's just not the case. So that would be the toughest thing to get used to. But now that I've done it a few times back and forth, it's kind of becoming natural now.
Jack and Aaron both seem like pretty cool teammates to have. What's it been like sharing a car with them for a couple of years now?
So Jack, Aaron, and I all come from a very similar background. That's Road to Indy Light and Pro Mazda, what is now Indy Pro 2000. We've all done very well in those categories. So it's cool to be able to bounce ideas off of each other. And whenever we come in after a session, we all run the car in the same session. We all come in and you look at our track, because we fill out a track map after each session saying what the car is doing. And you could literally, all of our track maps are always the same, which is good to see. And it's all because we come from a similar background. So it's actually a very enjoyable atmosphere, because there's zero controversy ever. We're all always on the same page, and it works out great with us three.
Good luck in the race, and hopefully we have to call you for a winning interview a bit later.
I hope so as well.
Austin McCusker, it was a great lap for you in the qualifying session earlier. First pole position. You've already got a podium in the series, but what's it like to be starting the sale in 6 hours on the front row?
I mean, it's going to be fantastic. There's no better place to start the sale in 6 hours. It was a good lap by us. First one for me and first one for United Auto Sports. for their first race going to be in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship and their first race in P3 in the U.S. So happy we got it done.
It seems like this program came together, well, not the program, but that you being a part of it came together last minute. You were initially listed against a different team on the first entry list. When did you get the call up from United to find out you'd be in their car?
I mean, we've been speaking with Richard for a long time, just touching base with everything. And he mentioned it about a month ago, but nothing really came together until, you know, serious talks until about the middle of last week. So we got it all tightened up and finished towards, I think, Wednesday or Thursday of last week. So it was a quick call up to get over here.
You guys have pretty much a young gun car. How much is that going to help you tomorrow in the heat of the race?
It should, you know, help us a bit. You know, we don't have a bronze driver in the car, so that's one advantage. But, you know, it's still going to be hot out there and it's still going to fatigue. And, you know, we're just going to try and play the best strategy and, you know, hopefully we're there at the end and can fight for the win.
Driving an LMP3 machine around Watkins Glen has to be just a super fun experience. But what is the best part of the track in the prototype?
I like the bus stop. It's my favorite corner. You kind of just send it in there as fast as you can and pick up the throttle as soon as you can and just roll the most minimum you can. And, you know, it's wicked fast. And then it goes right into the long right-hander. So the bus stop is by far my favorite part.
Austin, thanks and good luck.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it, Shay.
It was a really good pole position win for Stephen Thomas. And I say that because it came on the last lap. And now Stephen Thomas has as many pole positions as Tristan Nunez. Now, Tristan, your protege, doing pretty well this year, but it's got to fill you with such pride when a qualifying session goes down like that.
Yeah, no, it was pretty impressive. I mean, it's so great to be a part of the program and see his development from the start of Daytona to now. I mean, Daytona was a good start, and then, you know, now he's racking up the pole. So it's so good to see his progress, and, you know, really excited for this race coming up.
It's been a little while since the last race. You're used to jumping in and out of race cars quite frequently, but talk about how difficult it is with a new team to try and get everybody settled back down for this 6-hour race.
Yeah, it's, you know, we did a little bit of testing here, but at the same time, you know, you're not doing very long stints. So to be quite honest, I'm not sure how this Orica is going to be on my neck on a double stint. So I have a little pad on my helmet to help me through the carousel, but it's just going to be an experimental kind of thing once I jump in the car.
Do you think it'll be more physically taxing than the Mazda DPI was?
I will say it feels like this car is very physical around here. Again, the winds the whole weekend have been pretty severe. You know, we had a big tailwind into turn one, turn eight. It's been pretty hot as well. So the car has been a bit of a handful. So I think that does make it a little bit more difficult. But again, we won't know until we're halfway through stint one. So I'll have to tell you after that.
I'll take you up on that. It's a very competitive LMP2 category. What would it mean to you guys to get onto the podium this weekend, let alone get the win?
Well, I know Stephen Thomas is very hungry for a win. You know, we've been so close in Daytona and Sebring. We led Daytona for a good 12 hours, and then we were leading until an unfortunate mechanical issue at Sebring. So I don't think anything but winning is on our team's mind at the moment.
Well, good luck in the race, and hopefully we'll be talking to you afterwards.
Looking forward to it.
Ricky Taylor, it was pole number 12 for you at Watkins Glen. You've already won at this track twice, but what's it like to get that honor of starting first and leading everyone to the green flag?
Yeah, it's really a cool event. I mean, it's nice just to be back at Watkins Glen, first of all. Standing 6 hours is such a historic event, and to lead the field to green is always a special feeling. Qualifying at Watkins Glen is one of the most fun qualifyings of the year. It's just such a fast track and takes so much commitment and like attention to detail to get everything right. So it's been 10 years since Wayne Taylor Racing's won at the Sandlin 6 hour. So I think that's a good reason to kind of stay up at the front, hopefully.
Yeah, well, that's definitely kicking off the week on the right foot, too. And Acura have been so strong there, not only this weekend, but the last time that we raced there, too. So you've got the right brand on your side, don't you?
Yeah, we feel really confident. Our Acuras have been super strong. The Schenck number 60 was right there. Really, really close battle for the pole. But yeah, I think it's about putting it together. Mazda was really, really fast in 19. And I expect they always show up in the races. Even if they don't show pace through the weekend, they're always there in the race. So we're going to have to be on our game and try and control the race from the front and do the best to not, you know, not put ourselves in a bad position and be there at the 6 hour mark. But NAC is also on our minds. So hopefully we can maximize our points there and hopefully not have to worry too much when we get to Petit Le Mans.
Well, I was going to ask you about that because with the Michelin Endurance Cup on the line, Alexander Rossi tied with you guys on points, having raced at Daytona and Sebring. There really wasn't a thought of not bringing him back, was there? You wanted to give him the chance to win a championship.
Yeah. Well, we were actually talking, Philippe and I were talking, like, as an endurance driver for the NAEC, it's only fair that there should have to be three drivers per car. They do so much to contribute to the rest of the championship. And in the past, if you win it with two drivers, really the third guy did just as much to earn it. And Alex is definitely no exception. He's a super critical part of the team. And I think even more than how great he is at the three really long ones, he's just so plug and play. We can just bring him. Don't worry about him. He's going to do a great job. He's going to be as fast as anybody. Super easy going. He can drive any race car. And he's perfect guy for the job.
Well, and one last fun question. It seems like you and Philippe have really been getting along well this year. You've really been gelling as teammates and friends. What's it like driving with him?
He's amazing. I mean, I've been a big fan of him through my career. And you have certain drivers around the paddock that you really have a lot of respect for. And I would really love to get to drive with, because when you get to drive with somebody, you learn, you know, what makes them special and what their quirks are. And he's even better than I thought. He's an amazing driver, an even better person. Really, you know, great head on his shoulders. He does everything he does. He puts a lot of thought into. Super family guy and really selfless. As a teammate, you know, he's always ready to give up track time to benefit the team. And he really sets the tone for that going back and forth. And it really shows on the weekends. I mean, we've had some decent success this year, but throughout all of his programs, you can kind of understand why he's winning so many races.
Yeah, and I'm sure he would say the same about you too, Ricky. Well, there's a reason you both have won so many championships separately. Looks like this year, maybe on track to win one together. But good luck, first off, getting that 10-year anniversary win, because that would be something special.
It would. Dad's definitely hoping for it. We got Connor Kamenola to all the pressure. Acura, Harrison contracting. So everybody's put the pressure on. So 10 years would be pretty sweet.
Paul Sitter overall for the Ceylon 6 hours of the Glen. Ricky Taylor in the number 10, Connick and Minolta, Acura. Shea Adam asking the questions there, our VP Racing Field Pit and Paddock reporter. And she is joining me now in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Let's go through our Porsche keys to the race, Shea, with about 7 minutes before we go live in sound and vision. Let's go through them for you. First of all, this is a round of the Michelin Endurance Cup. So points to be awarded in race there. And that sometimes throws a little bit of a curveball on the strategy that we'll need to keep our eye open for.
Yes, and the first set of points being awarded at the three-hour mark, the second set of points being awarded at the end of the race. We've already had, seven segments of the Michelin Endurance Cup this year, with two more coming today, and then three more coming for Motul Petit Le Mans at the end of the year, now in November. The championships are pretty close in most of the categories. It is a bit of a runaway for the 10 car, though, as we've just heard from Ricky Taylor, bringing back Rossi and Albuquerque. They have a four-point advantage over the 55 Mazda. In LMP2, it is Gabby Aubrey and John Ferrano who lead by 2 points over Dwight Merriman, Razzle Dazzle, Ryan Dial, and Kyle Tilley, who are 1 point further ahead of Ben Keating, Mikkel Jensen, and Scott Huffaker. So that's still all to play. it's an interesting combination in LMP3 with Gar Robinson and Scott Andrews on 31 points ahead of their teammate from Daytona, Oliver Askew, on 29. Separate cars for those three drivers, 2 and 1, this weekend. So that could wind up being a bit of fun as the Rolex winners go up against each other. Both of the Corvettes are tied on 25 points apiece, and then only 2 points further back are the 25 BMW drivers, so that's all still to play for. And then in GTD, we've got 4 cars within 3 points of one another. The 9 Porsche, the Mauro Engel-driven number 75 this weekend, it's just Mauro who's still on those points, the 16 Wright Motorsport trio, and then the number 1 trio. So it's very much wide open, and I expect to see things swing a little bit in the heat of today.
Jeremy Shaw, it seems an odd thing to say. It's in the title of the race. It's the sailing 6 hours of the Glen. We saw in the Michelin Pilot Challenge, no spoilers here in case some of our audience hasn't heard it. You're not going to win this race in the first lap or the possibly even the first couple of stints. So you have to remember that this is going to go for the full 6 hours.
There's a few... Generally speaking, for a six-hour race here, you wouldn't want to worry too much about qualifying because there's so much racing to unfold during that 6 hours and so many different strategies that could potentially play out. It was interesting to hear Ricky Taylor, the pole sitter, yesterday say that it was important for him to qualify up front. I think he's just saying that to be perfectly honest. I think, even if you do have a problem, have to start at the back, a la the Mazda, for example, in DPI, I think it is possible. But you certainly have to look at the big picture, which is the end of the race and, of course, the championship moving forward. And as Shea was just pointing out, not just the main championship, but there's also the Michelin Endurance Cup as well. So you have to have your eye on all sorts of different balls during this 6 hours.
Yeah, absolutely right, Jeremy. Porsche keys to the race, Shea, and the tyres. A relatively generous tyre allocation for the Michelins this weekend, certainly enough to get you through the practice, the qualifying and the race. Might be a little bit of reusage, but I'm guessing some people will be leaving some in case they need them at the end when it's getting warmer.
Oh, yes. And for the prototype teams, in particular, LMP2 and DPI, they're fairly confident with their tire allocation and the amounts that they have left from all the DPI and LMP2 teams that I've talked to so far. Thus, Ben Keating changing the starting tires to brand new ones from the qualifying tires that got flat spotted in a spin yesterday at the end of qualifying. But 14 sets of tires for DPI, LMP2, and GTLM means there should be no worries about changing to fresh Michelins on every stop. In LMP3 and GTD, slightly different story. 9 sets of the allocation for both of those categories. And those allocations begin at the beginning of the race meeting. So not just for the race. That's for all the running Friday, Saturday, and indeed Sunday.
You mentioned championships, Jeremy. Michelin Endurance Cup here. We've got the full championship points going on. And if we're going to talk about championship implications, it's a packed second half of the calendar year in 2021. We've just come off a fairly long break for some of the categories. The break before the next race is 4 days because we're back here on track practice and qualifying on Thursday. That means no going back to the shop if you break something today. Any problems today might have really large championship implications.
That's true, and this is traditionally the busy part of the season. Lime Rock is only a couple of weeks away, and then 3 weeks after that is Road America. So this is the busy time of the year. It's always a crucial part of the season for the teams, and you're right. With the next race so close, the good news is, it's at the same racetrack. So generally speaking, we would go directly from here at Watkins Glen across the border to Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, which is only a five-hour drive or so probably. It's always difficult this time of year having races back to back, but even better this year in fact because they don't have to travel anywhere. And there's quite a few race shops in this area. There might not be there's a fair bit of road racing around Watkins Glen, and the Monticello facility is not too far away either. But it certainly isn't the same as being able to go back home.
You make a good point, Jeremy. We've got at the race next Thursday and Friday. Then July 16th and 17th for the All GT Extravaganza up at Lime Rock Park for the North East Grand Prix. Michelin Pilot Challenge as well there. And quite honestly, few tracks can match the beauty and the challenge of that little bull ring. It was the Pfaff Porsche, of course, that won by less than half a car's length at the last visit there. That was the closest finish in IMSA history. If you'd like to be there, limerock.com for tickets and more. It's free parking, free for anyone under 16, and free if you're a veteran or an active duty military personnel. It's the 16th and the 17th of July at Lime Rock Park for the North East Grand Prix. Those were your Porsche keys to the race in Michelin. Countdown to green. Stand by. We're going live in sound and vision as we bring IMSA TV and IMSA Radio together for the Ceilings 6 hours of the Glen.